So today, we are kicking off a brand new message series this morning called Missing the Mark. Can you say that with me? Missing the Mark. Not just Mark, the Mark, right? We like Mark and Luke and John and all those guys too, and all your friends, Mark, but we're missing. So there are so many beliefs in our culture today that are almost true. Somebody say almost true. Almost true. It sounds true. They feel true. They're almost true. But spoiler alert, friends, they're not true. They're almost true, right? And so I just want to warn you, if you don't like this message today, this message series, and you find yourself wanting to push back, it's probably for you. So just lean in and learn and say, God, just speak to me today, God, because I want to be more like you. You are my everything. So today, I want to kick off with just playing a game. Who wants to play a game with me this morning? Just to kind of get us in the mood. And is that okay? Even if it's not, here we go. I want to play the game called Two Truths and a Lie. You're like, what, PC in church? Two truths and a lie? Woo, yeah, two truths and a lie. And I'm going to give you two truths about my life and a lie, but it's all for the glory of God. So that's why I'm allowed to do it. Plus, we're going to have some confession. I'm going to tell you which one's wrong anyways. So it's legal to do it before our, as a sermon illustration, right? So what I'm going to do is I'm going to give you three statements. Two of them are true and one of them is not. Some of you know me really well, so it should be funny, but just for fun, we'll let you guess which one is not true. So here we go. Statement number one. You can guess out loud if you want. I purchased my first pickup truck when I was 14 years old. 14-year-olds. Statement number two, I jumped out of a perfectly good airplane with a parachute when I turned 25 for my birthday celebration. Jumped out of a perfectly good airplane. And here's a statement number three, I cannot stand ginger ale. Right, I cannot stand it. Now, two of these are true, right? You're like, what? Crazy. So one of them is not. Let's take the vote. Hands up. How many of you don't believe I bought my first truck when I was 14? Anyone here don't believe I bought my first truck when I was 14? Oh, man, you guys know me that well already? Crazy. Well, it's true, I did. How many of you don't believe I jumped out of a perfectly good airplane? All right, couple of you, good. Love it. And my wife didn't believe it either, but I had the... Well, I did, so that one's true, too, and I got video evidence for that one, too. So that one's... But the third statement, y'all know I love ginger ale, right? I need a T-shirt for it, like kind of thing, right? So truth or lie, it raises the question, though, what is truth? And this is the same question that Pontius Pilate asked Jesus in the New Testament portion of your Bible when the Jewish leaders were plotting to kill Jesus. Pilate was questioning the motives of Jesus and asked him that question, what is truth? What is truth? And Jesus said this in John 18, if you have your Bibles with you. If you don't, we'll have it up on the screen for you as well. And just to help you go along, we want to go along with you as well. So Jesus said this in John 18, 37 to 38. The reason I was born and came into this world is to what? Let's all say it aloud. Jesus says, I am in the world to testify the truth. Everyone on the side of what? Everyone on the side of truth. Jesus says, listen to me. And then Pilate asks back, well, what is truth? What is truth? Now, this is one of the most important questions that we need to be able to answer as Jesus followers, especially in our culture today, what is truth? So we're going to build a working definition, and we're going to work out from there for this message series on truth that is accepted broadly, that truth is absolute, truth is constant and true for everyone, everywhere, all the time. What is truth? Let me say that again. The truth is absolute, constant and true for everyone, everywhere, all the time. What is truth? Now, this is our working definition. Truth is absolute. It's constant. It's true for everyone, everywhere, all the time. Yet many people, friends, especially today, confuse truth with perspective. And there is a difference between us. Truth is absolute, but our perspectives are different, right? They vary. And the challenge is if we confuse truth with our perspective, then we may start to think that truth is subjective. And we may believe that truth changes over time. And if we believe that, then we might actually start to believe that, well, what's true to you isn't actually true to me. We're in a culture where we need to have these conversations as a church, aren't we? And therefore, since your truth is unique to you, then you get to determine your truth. So the logic goes, if something sounds right to you and it feels right to you, it must be true. And if you believe that your truth is unique to you, then as it properly said today, speak your truth, live your truth, own your truth. Your truth is your empowerment. Your truth is who really you are. That's the narrative of our culture, friends. But what I want to do is I want to raise the question, what if your truth is a trap? What if it's a trap? What if your truth is not really the truth and therefore your truth is now dangerous or truth is a trap? It's so easy when we want to believe that our perspective is the same as truth. That's easy, right? We love that part. It's comfortable. So this is what we'll say. Well, this feels right, and this seems right to me. But see, there's a verse in Scripture that gives us a different narrative. It says this in Proverbs 14 and 12 that says, there is a path before each person that seems right. It feels right, but it actually ends in death. In other words, just because something seems right doesn't make it true. Are we still okay this morning? Because this is just a warm-up. Buckle your seatbelts. I want to give you two truths about truth. Right? If you're still taking notes with me, write this down. The first one I have for you, just because you believe something doesn't make it true. Just because you believe it doesn't make it true. Can we agree to that? If you agree, say it, I agree. Or amen. Just because you believe something doesn't make it true. For example, for centuries, everyone believed that the earth was flat. How many of you know that the earth is flat here in the room? A couple of you, okay. And then they discovered it's not flat, they discovered it's round. Until recently, some more people have rediscovered that it's really flat. And if you believe it's flat, don't fall off the edge kind of thing, right? Just be careful. And you can go and you can debate this all you want in your life. If that's you, that's fine. Just don't debate it in your city groups though. Like, keep those city groups safe, right? Keep our groups safe and keep them about Jesus, right? Like, just because you believe something, whatever it is, doesn't actually make it true. Or imagine this, imagine that you're going to take a flight and you're walking up to an airplane and so, you know, there's Drew, you know, he walks up to you and he says, hey, like, I feel like I'm a pilot today. Right? And you're like, that's weird. I thought you were a barista. Like, what do you mean? He goes like, nah, I feel like I'm a pilot. I feel good about this. Right? Like, you're going, have you ever flown before? You know, he's like, nope, but I feel good about this. I'm a pilot. You know, I believe therefore I'm a pilot. Right? Like, are you going to fly with him? Now, I'll be off that plane so fast you wouldn't even know it was coming, right? And the answer is, please do not in the name of Jesus, you know, don't do that. Just because you believe something doesn't mean that it's true. Doesn't mean that it is true. Now, I want the pastoral side of me to come just for a couple moments. I want to say this very clearly, that you have a perspective in life, and your perspective matters, friends. I'm not saying it doesn't, but what you've experienced and what you've gone through, it matters. It's real, right? It's you've experienced some things in life, and you've got some perspectives built on that, your life experiences, and it's valid. Everyone has a story that is being written, and your story is actually very important to understand, and you should be able to tell your story, but what you experience and what you feel doesn't equate to absolute truth. There is a difference, and you may say, okay, PC, like, but I thought I was supposed to follow my heart. That's what culture tells me, right? I should follow your heart. Like, you know, I mean, everybody says follow your heart, right? We see in Disney movies, like, it's everywhere. Like, you know, what does your heart tell you to do? Just do that. You'll be okay. Your heart will lead you to the truth. Follow your heart. Do whatever your heart says. Bam, let's go back to Scripture. Let's see what Scripture says, right? The Scripture actually says this in Jeremiah 17 and 9, that, hey, my human heart is the most deceitful of all things and desperately wicked. Who really knows how bad it is? I don't know if I want to follow my heart if it's wicked and deceptive. People say we have a good heart, but without God here, friends, our heart is wicked. So no, if Aunt Edie didn't follow Jesus, she didn't have a good heart. She wasn't redeemed. She didn't know, like, she didn't, you know, like, no, according to our foundational truths, the Bible, we need a redeemed heart, and that is the work of Christ in us, right? A redeemed heart, because our heart will lead us astray over time, over and over and over again, actually. And you know this is true, because whenever you let your feelings determine your truth, you know you're in trouble. Right? Because whenever you let your feelings determine your truth, you are. Why? Because your feelings lie. You know what's true? It's, you know, here, I'll give you, someone cuts me off in traffic. Mm-mm. What do you think I feel like doing? Long before I was a pastor, I used to be a different kind of man. Right? And every now and then, the different man still wants to come out, right? Just beating at the inside of my chest and come out and play, right? Like, and if someone pulls me over or cuts me off, I feel laying some holy hands on them. You know, and showing them a little jujitsu Jesus. Right? That's my truth. You cut me off, girl. Like, you know, and you deserve it. You deserve judgment from God. And I'm the instrument that he sent to bring that forth today. Right? You bring it to repentance. Okay. Just because I feel like it, it doesn't make it right, does it? Doesn't make jujitsu Jesus can stay away. And here's where I want you to pay very careful attention, because if you follow me logically, here's where it's easy to see that how believing in my own unique truth becomes very, 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 very dangerous. Because if truth isn't constant, In other words, if truth is relative, if truth changes, then you can see how it's going to lead us down a very, very slippery slope in our lives. Let me show you. If you don't believe that truth is constant, what's going to happen? Well, number one, then there are no absolute truths that apply to all people. Right? We've got them here for you. I got five things, I think. If you don't believe that truth is constant here, then there are no absolute truths that apply to all people. There's no such thing as absolute truth, right? And who's to say there's absolute truth? I mean, you can do what's true to you. This is what we're told. This is the message, the sermon of our culture. And who's to say that? I mean, you could do just do you. And I can do what's true to me. Even if you want to kill me, that's true to you. Kind of crazy. But second thing is, morality becomes subjective because right and wrong are relative. Which then leads us then to the thought that my perception determines what's true. And then number four, therefore, I am the source of truth. If I believe I'm the source of truth, then what do I think? Well, if it's true to me, then you cannot question my truth. Are you following me? Yeah. And Paul warns us about the dangers of these false beliefs. And I want to show you the words penned by the Apostle Paul nearly 2,000 years ago, inspired by the Holy Spirit. And I want you just to see how true these words are in our culture today. This is what Paul said in 2 Timothy 4 and 2. Paul said, preach what? Somebody help me. He said, preach the word of God. Say it again. He said, preach the word. Preach the word. Don't preach feelings. Don't preach opinions. See, we all preach. You don't just have to be a church planter and get up on a platform. Or this isn't even a platform, up on a fancy carpet and preach. We preach all the time. But what do we preach? Don't preach your feelings. Don't preach your opinions. I'm not going to preach my perspective. We're going to preach the word of God because the word of God never changes. The word of God is living. It's active. It's like a two-edged sword that cuts to the marrow and joint like it's surgical. It's active. It always accomplishes what God purposed it to do. We're going to preach the word, Scripture says. Paul's saying, preach the word. And then he says, patiently, not arrogantly, not with a condemning attitude, but patiently correct, rebuke, and encourage your people with good teaching. For there is a time coming, watch this, when people will no longer listen to sound and wholesome teaching. But what are they going to do? They're going to follow their own desires and will look for teachers who will tell them whatever they want to hear, who will tell them what their itching ears want to hear. And what will they do? We see this in our culture today. They say it with me, they will reject the truth and chase after myths. They will look for people who will tell them what their itching ears want to hear, and they will reject, we will reject, our culture will reject the very truth of God and chase after myths. And that's why it's so easy to look for people who tell us what we want to hear, because what we want to hear is so much easier to stomach in our lives. But God's truth doesn't change based on my ability to stomach it. It's constant and it's true, and what we want to hear is often so different than what we need to hear, isn't it? And what we want to hear is so different than what we need to hear. Because when someone wrongs you, you want to hear, well, you have the right to be angry. I mean, you're a victim, right? And after what they did to you, like, you're going to have to pay for it. But what you need to hear is the teachings of Jesus that says, no, you should forgive. And of Paul, who said you should forgive others as you have been forgiven. See, forgiveness is not for you to hoard, but it's for you to give away. Man, you want to hear, you want to hear, hey, it's my body. I can do whatever I want with it. No boundaries. It's like, this is me. This is mine. Don't touch it, right? Like, but what you need to hear, and you need to hear this, and if you're pushing back, here's what you need to hear this morning. If your body belongs to Christ, your body belongs to God. You're actually stewarding something that belongs to God. This old skin bag belongs to God. And he says your body is to be what? Holy. Which is set apart for the glory of God. So I don't even get to do what I think I need to do or feel like I want to do with my body. It's God, what do you want me to do with this body today? How do you want me to steward my body? How do you want me to feed my body? How do you want me to, whatever it is that you might be doing with your body, God, how do I involve you in it? What we want to hear is often different from what we need to hear. He says, your body's to be holy. You don't want to hear that, right? Nah, God, it's mine, but we need to hear that. You want to hear, hey, we may not be like legally married, but we're married in our hearts. We're married in our hearts, therefore we can do what we want sexually. Because we're married, but what you need to hear, no, sex is actually, it's God's, it belongs to God. It's God's gift between a man and a woman who's in a covenant of marriage before God and man. A holy matrimony. And he says we are to honor him by keeping our bodies pure until we celebrate the gift of love making in a covenant that he blesses, and every married couple goes, yeah, I love that. You want to hear that? Like, hey, I'm just looking a little bit. Just looking. Not touching. But just kind of looking at some stuff like window shopping online, right? Like, I'm looking at some, I'm just looking at porn, right? Like, I don't even know her name. I'm not doing anything. It's not that big of a deal. I'm not hurting anybody. But what you need to hear is that it's a sin against the holy God, and that the devil's lying to you and robbing you and isolating you and numbing you, and your addiction may end up costing you what you value most, but you don't want to hear it. But you need to hear it. What we want to hear is often different from what we need to hear. You want to hear, it's not my fault. This is just the way I was born. I can never change, never change. But what you need to hear is that you can be born again of the water and of the Spirit, right? But what you need to hear is that what you experience and what you feel doesn't determine who you are. You are not what someone did to you. You are not what they said about you. You aren't even what you feel about yourself. Let me say that you are not even what you feel about yourself. Some of you need to hear that, right? You're not what you feel about you. You are who God says you are, who he has designed you to be. You aren't even what you feel. Like, and if you're in Christ Jesus, he says you are a new creation. The old is gone, friends. You have the power of the Holy Spirit dwelling inside of you. You have resurrection power. Everything he touches comes back to life. I am the resurrection and the life, right? If that same power can raise Jesus from the dead, that power can help you overcome the deadness of sin in your life. Amen. You need to hear it, believe me. I know, some of you are mad now. This preacher guy. No. But you need to hear this. We want to hear is often different from what we need to hear. Right? We want to hear is, and it's so much different. And just because it seems right, just because you believe it, just because everyone else is doing it, number one, doesn't make it true. Here's two truths about truth. We're talking about truth in here. Here's the second truth about truth, and it's this. Number two, that truth isn't just something we believe, but truth is someone we follow. I'm going to say it again because that's really good stuff, and nobody clapped. I think it's worth at least an amen. Truth isn't just something we believe, but truth is a capital S, someone we follow. Yeah. In fact, scripture says this. Whenever Thomas was there, I remember Thomas, I love Thomas. He gets me off the hook some days because I ask Jesus questions too, big questions. Hey, Jesus, where are you going? And Jesus answered this in John 14:16. He says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. We learned this in our last series, in the I Am series. What is Jesus? He is not a way. He's the way, friends. He's just not another way with all the plethora of gods and idols of this world, but he is the creator of heavens and the earth, including you and I, right? So he is the way. He's not just a life. He is the life, right? And he's not just a truth. He is Jesus is the truth. And this is where people kind of get bothered sometimes. We get upset when Jesus says, no one comes to the Father except through me. We're like, who do you think you are, right? No one comes. But it's Jesus. He's not away. But people don't mind the love of Jesus. You know, hippie Jesus, they love him. He's got, you know, they love the love. He loves sinners and had dinner with prostitutes and lepers. And he was really good with kids, right? So we love that. He joined the kids' ministry and he cared for the least of these, right? And they like his love. We like his love. We want to be loved. And that's good. But they don't like his exclusivity. His exclusivity. Oh, bam. We don't like it. This is where people get, we want to push back. Like, this isn't fair, God. They say, well, he can't be the only truth. Can't be the truth. Anyone who claims to know the truth is insane or they're arrogant or dangerous. Or both. And no one has the right to tell me what to do. Really? There is a God, and you're not him. I mean, if we were to believe there is a God, and listen, we gotta acknowledge, friends, that we try to be him all the time. But you're not very good at it when we really admit it. I'm not very good at it. When I try to be God, I'd be throwing my weight around. We just ain't good at this stuff. truth isn't just something we believe, it's someone we follow. Who is Jesus? Jesus is the Word made flesh. Jesus is the very truth of God made into human existence. He is the truth in bodily form. He is the truth made flesh. And in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, full of grace and truth. This is a scripture I'm reading, right? Full of grace and truth. Jesus isn't our truth. He is the truth. So if what I feel, if what I think, or if what culture's narrative is telling me and shouting really loud and waving all kinds of whatever, you know, that's not the truth. And we got to wrestle with this. What is the truth? So what I feel, what I think, what I want, if it's contrary to God's word, then it's not truth. What is it then if it's not truth? There's no black and there's no gray. 50 Shades of Gray. Don't watch that movie. It's crap anyway. Black and white. Left and right, wrong and right, heaven and hell. Like there's only two ways. Scripture says there's two ways, broad and narrow, right? Broad and narrow. If it's not true, then what is it? Lie. Boy, some of you guys are really good. I love this. You've been reading my notes. We often live a lie. We've all been there. Some of us are still there living lies. And there's areas of my life I probably am still living a lie. And I have to ask God, God, would you expose to me where I'm living out things that are not true to you? True to who you've called me to be? True to how I'm supposed to live and speak and exist in this world? And so all that is a really, really long introduction to my next 40 minutes. But kidding. But to basically one sentence. No, I'm just going to shorten this. Here's the application. The whole message hangs on this application. You ready for it? Still taking notes? Write this down. Here it is. I think I have it on the screen. If Jesus' truth is different from what you believe, then die. Underline that. Die to your truth. And do what? Live. Live. Highlight that. According to the truth. See, let's read that. If Jesus' truth is different from what you believe, then die to your truth and live according to the truth. God, help me. This is me, Jesus. There's things in my life that I need to die to because it's not your truth. They're things I believe. They're my perspective. It's my right. It's my body. If what Jesus says, he's not our truth, he is the truth. If what Jesus says, if what scripture says, if what the word of God says is different from what you and I feel, it's different from what we believe, it's different from what you call your truth, then it's simple, just die. But I'm going to get there. It's not physical death. You know, it's scripture says that we should die to our flesh. It's not talking about my skin. It means our sarx in the Greek there. It's our sinful nature that we crucify it. The Bible says we put that to death, my sinful nature, my desires that are not aligning with God, the holy God we serve, we love. That's my sinful nature lying to me, and the devil's like blowing those flames, right? Taking me in different directions in my life, and that is not who God, I know, but everything I want isn't good for me, actually. Not everything I want is good for me. In the Garden of Eden, first book of the Bible, Genesis, the book of beginnings, the serpent said, did God really say, don't eat of that fruit? Did you really say that? All the way back to the stage, you know, stage one in God's big drama in the garden, you know, the serpent. Did God really say? And what could, you know, Eve have said if she lived today? Well, it's my truth and I want the fruit. It's my truth. I want the fruit, right? If our truth is contrary to his truth, then what do? We die to our truth and live according to his. Because at some point you're going to feel like something that's, you know, that's not God's will. I feel like maybe I feel like getting drunk today. You know, I feel like getting high. I feel like cussing that person out. I feel like, you know, whatever, watching that show that I know is not good for my faith because it promotes adultery and lying and murdering. And what I'm feeding my soul, all this garbage. And I feel like, you know, going to that place where I know I'll probably do the wrong thing online or maybe in person, acting like it's holy, you know, like, you know, because, you know, whatever, I've been talking about that girl, you know, like, and then at small group, I've been praying about her, so I feel holy about it, you know, and kind of thing, you know, I'm really gossiping about her, you know, I'm going to feel like acting out sexually, right, or whatever it is. Listen, just because you feel it doesn't make it true, friends. Your feelings are not the truth. So therefore, if I'm doing something that is not God's will, I'm lying, I'm being self-indulgent, scripture calls it, I'm actually being full of pride. I love that we're in Pride Month. Pride is the first fall. Satan himself, right, because of his pride, fell from heaven. Right? Pride goes before every fall in our lives. So what is pride? Pride is sin in our lives. Pride is what's going to hold us back from being all that God has called us to be. Stick that in our pipe and smoke it later. I know, that's weird. I don't even know what that means. I'm full of pride. I'm puffed up. Like, I'm arrogant. And maybe I'm jealous today. Or maybe I'm judging somebody else for the same thing that I do in secret. Maybe, you know, like today I'm greedy and I'm robbing God of his tithe. Because I'm lusting after other things in this life that I want more than what God wants in my life. I'm uncaring. I'm divisive in everything that I do in my relationships. But that's my truth. If my truth, friends, is contrary to God's truth, then scripture tells me to die. Die to my flesh. Crucify my truth. Crucify my truth. Crucify my flesh, my feelings, my desires. And then what? Live according to God's truth. See, I am the way, the truth, and the life. So we covered a lot of ground. I know. I'm going to slow it down just for a second. I want to go back to our initial story with Pontius Pilate. Because there's more power in this story than you can imagine. Pontius Pilate was trying to make a decision, and he was essentially trying to kind of like satisfy. He was a people pleaser. I'm a recovering people pleaser. I know. So I can recognize Pilate. He's trying to please the crowd here, you know, like, and still do what's legal and do what's right. People pleasing will always get you into trouble. It gets you into trouble, by the way. And he wasn't very popular right at this moment. And he knew Jesus had done nothing wrong. And he looks at this guy like he's innocent. Like, I mean, I can't find any reason to charge this guy. And because he was afraid of the crowd, afraid of the culture, afraid of what they're going to say. And Jesus says, he's the truth. And Pilate retorts back with the question, well, what is truth? With this, Pilate went out again to the Jews gathered there. And so there's a group of people. And he says, I find no basis of charge against Jesus. I've examined him. I've asked him lots of questions. And as far as I can tell, he's innocent. He hasn't done anything wrong. And then he explains, but it's your custom for me to release you one prisoner at a time at the time of the Passover. So he's looking for a loophole so we can let Jesus free because they want him crucified, but yet he knows that there's nothing wrong. He hasn't done anything wrong. He's not guilty for death. But he didn't find any reason. So he said, hey, we're supposed to let one guy go at this time of year. It's the Passover, right? And he said, and he asked the questions, do you want me to release the guy who calls himself the king of the Jews? Like, he's a pretty good guy, pretty peaceful, pretty hippie-ish. You know, walks around and goes camping all the time. And he asked the questions, do you want to release the guy? And they shouted back, no, not Jesus. Give us Barabbas. So here we have Pilate going, what am I going to do? This guy's innocent. They want this Barabbas guy, like a murderer, a thief. But there's this custom, this kind of ritual that I'm allowed to let one person go. They want Barabbas. Hey, do you want to let this guy go? I mean, look at him. He hasn't done anything. Give us Barabbas. Criminal, liar, thief, likely a murderer. Pilate's asking the crowd essentially, should we release Jesus the truth, or should we release Barabbas the liar? And the crowd chose Barabbas, the crowd. The culture chose the liar. The culture chose the thief. The culture chose the murderer, which sounds very similar to the metaphors used of the devil in John 10. Who is Satan? He's a thief. He's a liar. He's the father of lies, scripture calls him. He's a thief who comes to steal, kill, and destroy everything good in your life. Think about this. Why did Pilate release Barabbas? Because it's what everybody wanted. It's what the crowd desired. The crowd wanted the liar. The crowd wanted the lie. The crowd must be right, which makes sense when you think about it, right? Because who is Jesus? He's not just our truth. He is the truth. And let me tell you right now, friends, if you think I'm being mean or condemning in this, I'm not. It's with every bit of conviction and love that I have that I want to tell you, listen, if you come to church all year long and no one ever steps on your toes, the word of God's not being preached. The truth can be confrontational in our lives, and it should be confronting things in our life. Because why? Because we all fall short of the glory. We all sin. And the truth is difficult to hear. Why? Because the truth often requires me to change. It requires you to change. And it's so much easier to deal with a lie because it doesn't require me to change. I can stay the way I am. Because a lie tells me I'm fine the way I am. I'm okay the way I am. This is my truth. This is just the way I've been born. It's so much more convenient and it's so much more comfortable, right? And that's why your truth is so appealing, because your truth allows you to do whatever you want. And that was my problem back in my early adult years when I was wrestling with the things of Jesus in my own life. Because I knew he was the truth, but my truth is I didn't want to give up some things in my life. To follow him, I probably had to give up a few things to follow him the way he wanted me to follow him. So what do? We make up our own truth. And we mix up a little theology there, a little Christianity, a little culture, and we mix some potion. Like, come on, Chris, like, we're in the 2000s now. Like so Old Testament. Surely God understands my needs in this sexually charged generation that we're in. But if my needs and my desires are contrary to God's word, friends, then what do? I choose to die to my desires to live according to his truth. And I have found so many times in my life when I choose my own way, my own truth, I find it brings fruit that brings death in my life. It brings darkness in my life. It brings like just blah, anxiety and depression, those things. But when I choose to die to my flesh and say, God, I want to live unto you as you have called me to live, as holy and righteous. Not because I'm holy and righteous, because you are and you're in me. And you're working in me and through me. And when I live unto Christ and I die to my flesh, I live an abundant life. And there's joy and there's peace and there's forgiveness and there's the fruit of the Spirit. So I die to my desires and live according to. We often make up our own theology sometimes, don't we? And it keeps us from Jesus. The world is full of heretical teachings, friends, that keep you far from God. Even when you attend church and go to a small group. And that's exactly where some of us are right now, even in this time and season. And that's the reason why the crowd chose Barabbas, because Barabbas makes us feel better about ourselves. Why? Jesus is perfect and righteous and holy. Why would we crucify him? Give us Barabbas. We feel better about myself. He's a liar, thief. Like, yeah, I got this. The truth isn't just something we believe. The truth is a person. Jesus is the truth. The loving truth, the life-changing truth, a truth that doesn't condemn, but a truth that sets people free. Jesus says, I am the way, back to John 8, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And then John 8:32 says, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. See, when you know Jesus, and you're growing in an intimate relationship with Jesus, the truth begins to set you free from those things that hold you back, from all that God wants you to be and to experience in him. And you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. He didn't say your perspective will set you free. Your opinion or your experience, your perspective is valid. Your experience is real. Your story matters. But it doesn't mean it's the truth. The truth is a person, friends. The truth is Jesus. And when you know him, truth is a person. When you know Jesus, Jesus sets you free. Are you free today? Are you free? Is there something holding you back from all that God's called you to be? Is there something holding you back from drawing closer to God and being in a relationship with him that says, like, hey, I'm right here beside you. No man can pluck me out of your hand. I'm close. I'm near. I don't even have to shout because I'm so close I can whisper in your ear. That Jesus, are you free? When you know the truth, he sets you free. Are you whole? We all have some form of brokenness in us. That's why we walk through freedom every year. We just came out of Freedom Conference not that long ago. And many of you found freedom. But remember, freedom is not a destination, friends. Freedom's a, hey, you're going to be walking along. I got some more healing to go. It's okay. This is life. Freedom's a journey, not a destination. So what do? You just jump back in. You're like, I'm going to church. I'm going to my small group Bible in hand. Like, ooh, God, you're so... taking a little communion, whatever it may be. God, search my heart and know me. I trust you to show me what needs to change in my life. I trust you to reveal, not so it's me, I'm bad. That's what the devil does. You so bad. You such a bad person. No, God comes along and says, he doesn't shame you and condemn you. He convicts you. He says, oh, that wasn't probably the best thing to do. But here's a better way. Here's the way out. Here's a different direction for you to go. He's so kind and helpful. Coach Jesus. So what do? If Jesus' truth is different than what you feel, what you want, what you believe, die to your truth and live according to the truth, because Jesus is the truth. And the truth will often go against what you feel, friends. But the truth of Jesus will set you free. All around the room, heads bowed. Let's pray. So Jesus, we come to you, this beautiful group of people. And God, we confess our need for you this morning. We acknowledge that we're sinful, we're broken, we're flawed, and our hearts routinely deceive us. But God, would you help us to know you? Help us to seek you. Help us to know your truth.